For our scripture reading, we have three portions, as you can see on the bulletin board there. And the first one is from Isaiah 11, the first nine verses. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then we go to Romans 8, verses 18 to 23. Romans 8, at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And here we find a text in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And then we go to 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have once again celebrated Christmas. And now you wonder what Christmas has to do with lions eating straw. You children, you have heard about the stable where the Lord was born. And yeah, sometimes they tell that there was an ox there and maybe also a donkey, but a lion? Okay, let me ask you some questions. What again is Christmas all about? Well, it's about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so who was his mother? Well, his mother was the Virgin Mary. But where did the Lord Jesus really come from? Well, he came from heaven, from the throne of God. And why did he leave the throne of God? Well, to deliver us from our sins. Okay. So what must we do to be delivered from our sins? Repent and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what difference does it make when you do not repent and do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, and you cannot go to heaven when you die. Okay? So, I've repented. I repent. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm delivered from my sins. But does me being saved have something to do with lions eating straw? Well, that's what this sermon is all about. And this is a story which is not nearly as well known as the one about the forgiveness of our sins. Yes, and the Lord Jesus did come indeed to deliver people from their sins, but he also came to destroy sin itself and death and the evil one. And that is what the Lord Jesus came to do, to destroy sin and death and the evil one by the way he lived and by the way he died on the cross and by the way he rose again from the dead. By living and dying and rising again, the Lord Jesus set the whole creation of the Lord God free from the bondage of corruption. And that's the theme for this message. The Lord Jesus came not only to deliver people from their sins, but also very much to set the whole creation free from the bondage of corruption. Well, let's first look at a very good creation. In the beginning of the very first chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we are told about the creation of everything there is today, about land and sea and sun and moon and stars, of all the creatures in the sea and all the birds in the sky. And they are all brought about by the command of the Lord our God during the first 5 days of creation. And then we're told that during the sixth day, God made the beast of the earth according to its kind and cattle according to its kind and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And after that, we are told that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And at the end of creating, we are told that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Clearly, there was nothing wrong with all that he had made. But the Lord God not only made all the animals and the humans, bringing a baby in the world is one thing, but then after that, you have to look after it and feed it. And so the Lord God gave instructions to the two humans with what they were to feed themselves. We read in verses 29 to 30 that God said, "See, I have given you, humans, every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, of all the earth." Every herb that yields seed that is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. But also to all the animals of the earth, the Lord said, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Now all this happened before the fall. So tell me, were Adam and Eve allowed to have a hamburger before the fall? Or bacon and eggs? Or a milkshake? No. The Lord God clearly limited them to grains and fruit with seed in them, along with mother's milk for the babies. So, what do we call people today who seek to feed themselves that way? That's right. We call them vegans. And that's Adam and Eve before the fall were vegans. Now I know that at least as far back as 80 to 100 years ago, even when I was a young boy, people that were doing hard physical labor needed fat. Animal fat. When I worked on the farm as a teenager, we never got meat as the food, but we always got a slice of fried bacon. We need fat for solid physical labor. And so the bodies required that in order to function properly, to have strength to carry on. And so we're not even talking about red meat, but simply about animal fat. And that's the way human bodies and their muscles are set up. A human cannot do hard physical labor without animal fat. But clearly, Adam and Eve did not need that. The Lord God had created them in such a way that their bodies could function very well on grains and fruit under any circumstances. But today, some toddlers raised on such a vegan diet have died of malnutrition, and their parents have been charged with manslaughter. But as you heard from the word of the Lord God, it were not only Adam and Eve who were to live on a vegan diet, but also all the animals on the land and all the birds. So much for a lion digging into the tender meat of a newborn buffalo calf or a giraffe baby. No eagle would make off with a young lamb or a rabbit. It makes us think of those words that we read already in Isaiah 11, where the Lord God says, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain." So our triune God clearly wanted to have a vegan creation. Otherwise, he would not have created and instructed to humans and the animals what to eat. But that also means that the Lord God created the humans and the animals with a vegan digestional system, intestines and stomachs with a vegan flora. And so there was no inner craving either for blood or meat. And that also meant no killing. And since there was no death before the fall, there were no dead animals laying around either. So the vegan lifestyle in the new creation brought with it a lifestyle without violence, a peaceful lifestyle. Now you may think, isn't that carrying things a little bit too far? A peaceful lifestyle, a peaceful world? But think again. All that was before the fall, there was not only no death, but there was no sin. For sin only entered the world through the decisions of Adam and Eve. And so because there was no sin, there was no death, for death is the wages of sin. And there was no evil one. So, and not until Adam and Eve allowed them, the evil one, to enter the good creation of the Lord God. Just imagine that. A world without sin. A world without death. A world without the devil going about like a roaring lion through the world, seeking whom he might devour. No wonder that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit together surveyed the whole creation when it was done, and they were very pleased because it was all very good. The triune God was extremely pleased with his creative work. Today we talk about paradise here. Well, that, dear congregation, was the way things were when the serpent slithered up to Eve. And that brings us, secondly, to creation in the bondage of corruption. Until the attack by the serpent, no lie had been heard in the new creation. All there was truth, the truth of God's word. All the humans, all the animals, all the grains, all the fruits, and the green feed were all there by the word of truth. And again, the Lord God spoke, saying, "Let there be." And there was. And clearly, his word was truth every time he spoke. But now the serpent slithers up to Eve and tells her, in effect, God's word is not always truth. Yes, he told you that in the day when you would eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, you would die. But that is not true. When God said that, he was simply protecting his own position. He knew then, and he knows now, that when you eat of that fruit, you will be like him, knowing God and evil. In other words, the serpent suggests that the Lord God is not speaking the truth. The Lord is simply covering up his own skin. What the serpent told Eve was the first lie that was told in that perfect creation. But because Adam and Eve believed that lie, it turned out to be far from the last lie told in the creation. The world is full of liars now. The Bible is also full of liars. I just picked one out of Jeremiah 28, 15 to 17. A liar is there who's called Hananiah. He is the leading prophet in the temple of the Lord God in Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. And you might think that Hananiah You might say that he was a spiritual leader of the people of Israel before the face of the Lord God. He was a priest. He was the top man. And he prophesied that in a couple of years, the Lord God would bring the exiles back together with all the precious vessels which and King Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon. And then the prophet Jeremiah speaks to Hananiah saying, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord." And Hananiah died a few months later. What we should notice here is that the Lord God considers Hananiah's lies teaching people to rebel against the Lord. And here is a great truth. Lies cause rebellion. Lies cause people to stand up against the truth. A liar says, "What John Doe says is not true. My word is truth." Is that still going on today? Are you really asking that? Jody Wilson Raybould declares, "This is the truth. My word is truth." "No," says the Prime Minister, "my word is the truth." Big trouble. If this happens in the top part of the country, you can figure how lies create rebellion throughout the whole country. But ultimately, always against the Lord God. For lying is breaking his commandment, "You shall not bear false witness." And that's what the serpent did. He brought rebellion into paradise. He caused Adam and Eve to become rebels against the Lord God. But like Hananiah, Adam and Eve found out that God's word is truth. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, some people have told me that that word of the Lord was not completely true either. For Adam did not die the same day that he ate, but finally some 900 years later. But by saying that, people show that they have not grasped what really happened immediately following the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, there was a total switch in the whole of creation, including in all animals and plants and humans. Adam and Eve immediately realized that they were naked. Shame entered into their consciousness the very moment they believed the lie and ate, taking responsibility for their own actions, disappeared out of sight. "It's not me, it's the woman you gave me. It's not me, it's that serpent." And just as they were hiding from the presence of the Lord, they now played hide-go-seek with their own actions. What had happened? They were changed truly in the twinkling of an eye. Their open honesty before the Lord God was now gone. Truth has now left them, and the great liar has entered their lives. He who has been a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. The lying spirit has taken over. Oh, how we know about that. How we find ourselves from time to time lying. Not just to others, but even lying to ourselves. And the worst part of it is that we ourselves sometimes believe the lies we tell ourselves. That's what sin is. With the eating of the forbidden fruit, it is not only the serpent who slithers inside Adam and Eve, but also all kinds of twisted thinking and twisted behavior. God's word calls that being carnal, flesh, sold under sin. And the true believer, says Scripture, knows that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells nothing good. How does the believer know that? Because to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And so it is clear that the moment that two humans believed the serpent and ate of the forbidden fruit, the innocent humans, holy, righteous, God-loving, and obeying as they were, died and became people dead in trespasses and sins. And so that was a total change for the worse, happening in no time at all. Now, that's the way it went with us humans. And what about the animals? The birds, the grain crops, the fruit harvest, the green herbs, and some of them became poisonous. Fruit was attacked by bugs and wasps. Rain now came at unpredictable times. Oh, how wonderful it was before the fall, when the Lord God was the almighty farmer who commanded rain at the proper time, or moisture all over the place, growing plenty of healthy food for man and beast. But now dry spells, mother deers having to leave their newborn because there was no grass, wild donkeys standing on a hill, their eyes failing because there is no grass, the nice crops of green feed are broken up by thorns and thistles and other weeds. Clearly, the whole creation was instantly changed for the worse because of the rebellion by the humans against their Creator God. The whole creation suffers because of rebellious humans. But even this was not all that happened because of the fall. For soon, the peaceful vegan country living was overcome by bloodthirsty violence, and not only among humans, but also as soon among animals and birds, packs of lions, hyenas, and wild dogs roamed the countryside after the newborns, the weak ones, the helpless. And with the sin of humans, it was not just the evil one with his violence and death who had entered animal life, but there also had come about a changing of the flora and the intestines of large parts of animals and birds, together with a strong desire for blood and red meat. Scripture tells us that the Lord God caused the whole creation to enter into the bondage of corruption. All, no doubt, also in the twinkling of an eye. A ruined and a suffering creation has been the result of the humans believing the serpent. It is said that those people who had known the glorious temple built by Solomon, they wept when they saw the sorry excuse for a temple built by the returning exiles. I wonder whether Adam and Eve ever wept when they remembered the beautiful, peaceful, vegan creation, while now looking around them at the bloodthirsty, violent creation full with thorns and thistles. From time to time, totally shriveled up. And that reminds us of the horrendous fires in California, British Columbia, Alberta, Australia, the good soil underneath, crying out about the violent destruction happening on top of it. And no doubt also partly the result of the way the humans are treating God's creation. But horrendous fires, nevertheless. And then there are the floods and the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and so many signs of creation being in the bondage of destruction. All directly connected to the humans turning down God's truth and embracing the lie of the serpent and allowing the evil one to roam on the earth. So what's going to happen next? Total liberation of creation. Now there are many who believe that the Lord God is going to totally burn up and destroy today's creation. And by the way, by creation, we are not to understand only our little world, the earth, or perhaps together with our sun and moon, but also the whole creation, as huge as it is. I read the other day about the light of a faraway star, which has reached us from what is thus far the farthest star from Earth. It is 1,500 light years away. It takes 1,500 light years to reach it. Now, a light year is really something like to measure with, like an inchimeter, as the immigrants used to call it. Only a light year is almost 10 trillion kilometers long. How long is that? Well, back and forth to Vancouver is about 10,000 kilometers. So 1 million kilometers is 100 times back and forth to Vancouver. Now a billion is 100 million, so a billion kilometers is 100,000 times back and forth to Vancouver. But a trillion is 1,000 billion, and therefore is 100 million times back and forth to Vancouver. That is the length of one light year. Now this particular star is 1,500 light years away. Yes, think about that. The light that reaches us now started out from the star 1,500 years ago. And yet, the Lord God rules over the whole creation, also the stars. Our triune God is not just a local God ruling over the earth with its sun and moon. Why did I go through all those kilometers with you? Because God's word tells us in Romans 8:22 that, quote, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole creation, and that includes that star 1,500 light years ago, away. And do not think lightly, wherefore, when you hear the word creation, when you hear the word creation, when you use the word creation, then you also must hear the word creator. And when you hear the word creator, you must also think of him who rules stars 1,500 light years away. And so it is not just a giraffe who groans when her newborn baby is ripped apart by the lions. And it are not just the prairies who are weeping when white men are slaughtering buffaloes by the thousand, letting their corpses rot. It is the whole creation which is groaning. Yes, including the mother finding her baby dead through crib death, including the married woman who is not blessed with a pregnancy, and so on and on. The whole creation, from the poor to the rich, from the young to the old, from next door to 1,500 light years away, Now, we cannot help but find all this very depressing. But here now, heavenly light shines into our situation. For God's word tells us in our text that, and I quote from the text, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And that means that right here in God's creation, there is a living expectation of better things to come. You ask once more, what must we understand by creation? And the answer must be, all that the Lord created. Moon, stars, suns, our earth, all the animals, all living plants and trees, they all have an expectation of better things to come. And where does that expectation come from? It can only have come from the Lord our God, the Creator himself. And we know that this is so because it is revealed to us with the mother of promises to Eve about her son who would destroy the serpent, the evil one. When the Lord God made that promise, it was a promise not just to Adam and Eve who heard those words, but also to the whole creation, who was a witness to it. The whole creation has ever since clung to that promise. And the whole creation, earth, sun, moon, stars, rocks and trees and mountains and all living creatures, still keep thinking, there is light at the end of this terrible tunnel. There is going to come a moment when this darkness shall pass away, this violence, this suffering. Yes, there have been and still likely will be horrendous earthquakes and tsunamis and rain and drought, wars, rumors of wars, hunger and thirst, horrible things. Nevertheless, our Creator will send a son of Eve who will set everything straight. In Romans 8, verse 20, we're told that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. It was God who subjected it in hope to futility. And that's clearly the case. Why? Well, clearly, the Lord God was not going to let his rebellious humans live in an otherwise perfect world. Because of their rebellion, they would be made to suffer also because of their surroundings. And we know well how during the past growing and harvesting a season, there was much futility, and this was only a wee little spot of creation. But we know it well because there was the land was too wet, and then it was too dry, and then it was too late, and then it was followed by too early snow. What futility. Some farmers, you certainly must have thrown up their hands in despair. But it was the Lord God who subjected creation to futility against the will of creation itself. And yet the hope in creation never died. Creation is still eagerly waiting, yes, for the lions to eat straw once again. And that will happen when the sons of God, let us put it properly, when the born again children of God will be revealed. There will come a time when the Lord Jesus returns to earth from his throne in heaven. And what will happen then? Well, the Lord tells us in Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, out of his creation, all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. What does that mean? Well, it means the total cleansing of all creation. It's total sanctification. And also, as the Lord Jesus returns, we are told in Mark 13:27, then he will send his angels and they will gather together his elect from the four corners, before the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part from heaven. I know just as well as you that there are still many other happenings written down about those days, especially in the book of Revelation. But for now, let us just follow the main lines. First, the Lord Jesus. He returns in glory. And as he returns, he has the whole creation cleansed and with all the evil and lewdness thrown out, including the evil ones and any beast mentioned in Revelation. And the Lord Jesus returns to a totally clean creation. And that's not all. Secondly, the Lord Jesus will return with all his elect. And that now is the revealing of the sons of God spoken of in our text. But how does this happen? Well, that's why we went to 1 Thessalonians 4. There everything happens very fast. As the Lord Jesus returns with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, we're told that God brings with Jesus all those who have died in the Lord and are waiting in heaven for the total salvation of the whole creation. Now, as those who have fallen asleep in Jesus descend with the Lord Jesus, they are now resurrected on the earth and join the believers who are still on the earth. But those believers still on the earth, they do not stay the same. Oh no, they are totally changed also. For we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:52 that believers shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so those resurrected from the dead and those alive but now totally changed shall, says Thessalonians, be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. But all the elect of God do not stay in the air or go back to heaven. When Jesus comes down, he's not going to make a U-turn and go back up there. No, the Lord Jesus comes down, and with the Lord Jesus, something else tremendous comes down from heaven to earth, namely the New Jerusalem. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so the risen and ascended Lord Jesus continues his way down to earth, to the New Jerusalem, together with all the resurrected and changed children of God. And from then on, he will rule on the totally cleansed, glorious earth and creation together with all the saints in a totally sanctified creation. And the prayer of the ages is now answered. Thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. But as all this happens, something else takes place. Also in a twinkling of an eye, everything in creation is changed to be perfect once again. All violence is once again removed from creation. And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. and the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God as waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, and the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So here is the truth. The Lord Jesus came not only to deliver people from their sins, but also to set the whole creation free from the bondage of corruption. And now we can also see why we together with all creation should eagerly be waiting to see lions eating straw. That also is a large part of the blessing of Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, O God, how great thou art. We have no... It's impossible for us to imagine how great thou art. Ruling 1,500 light years away like it is next door. The whole creation. And you created it all. You said, let there be. You created it. And then, when Adam and Eve accepted the lie and ate, you changed it all. And we don't know why all this takes so long. You know, Lord, that we have this light at the end of the tunnel, that you will change all things once again when thy Son and our brother, the Lord Jesus, returns, and all the dead believers are raised up, and the living believers are changed. And to be a clean earth, oh, we can hardly imagine what life is going to be like, what creation is going to be like when you, Lord Jesus, return. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth. Amen.